Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to the year-end edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Being the year-end edition, I wanted to look back on some experiences and things that happened to me over the last year and kind of relate some of the lessons and things that I learned from those things. So, had kind of three main areas that I was looking at when I sat down. I was like, okay, what? You know, just kind of reflecting back on this year, like what kind of had the biggest impact on me. And, one of the things that I was able to do this year is go do a four-day mentorship program at Mike Boyle's training facility. And for those of you that don't know, Mike Boyle is, I mean, he's one of the smartest guys in strength training. The guy's been at this for so long and has so much experience. Real world and just, it was just someone I've really been looking forward to meeting and spending some time with and kind of picking their brain a little bit, because the stuff that he's put out there has had a huge impact on how I, conduct my training sessions and create programs and my thought process towards training people. So being able to go and spend 4 days watching exactly how his facility does it and get to talk to him and pick his brain was a great experience for me. And so some of the things that I learned from that experience was, one, keep it simple, stupid. He must have said that a dozen times while we were there. And when you're turning out the number of people that he is, I mean, during the summer, he'll have several hundred kids coming through his facility on any given day. And that's a huge number of people to be, putting through a program and still be getting great results. You know, that's the thing. Like, Mike is known for getting great results with these kids. So, keeping it simple and having a system, a very systematic way of training people, very systematic way of progressing people and sticking to that system. And if you want to tweak something, tweak the system. Don't necessarily, tweak the coach. Have a good system and have the coach able to coach that system is something that, really stood out to me. And I said, it was kind of a sight to behold watching all those kids get through their workouts and everything run as smoothly as it did in the, his facility, isn't gigantic by any stretch of the imagination. So, having to be tight with stuff. And this was another lesson that I learned from him, and it wasn't really like something I learned as much as like reinforced, is the reality versus theory, good in theory, bad in practice kind of ideas. And when you're dealing with the numbers that he is, or for example with myself, when I'm dealing with people that have 9-to-5 jobs and they're coming to this with some past injuries and things like that, sometimes when you watch training videos and things from, some other places and they're, these complex exercises and really intense complex routines. And, I'm looking at those things and I'm thinking like, man, that just looks great. And for me, that would be awesome. But man, my client just can't do that. Like, that's just not the reality of where most people are at. I mean, who do these people train that they think that, this kind of stuff is something that you're just going to be able to pick up, off of a YouTube video or something like that. And so, that's something that you really have to keep in mind when you're creating programs. And so seeing, at Mike Boyle's place, the same thing happening, you don't see a lot of complex, very involved exercises and routines. It's all simple stuff, but it's done well. And so they make sure that people have really good, strong command of the basics, because that's the reality of where most people are at, is that you need command of those basics. And all these other things are great in theory, but they don't necessarily translate as well to your average person in the average facility. And the other thing that I learned was that you can get a lot out of a little if you're consistent with it. And, again, especially with mobility stuff, if you just do a little bit of mobility work on a consistent basis, especially outside of your training routines, you're going to start seeing some pretty good results, over the long run from that. And so a lot of times people get discouraged because they think that if they can't, you know, devote a huge chunk of time, several days a week to something, that they're not going to be able to get anything out of it. And that's not true. You take what time you have, you get the best that you can get done in that time frame, and then you're just consistent with it, and it's going to add up over the long run. So whether it's, you know, you're anything, I mean, really anything in life, that's a good lesson. But, you know, especially with the mobility stuff, that's something that for me and the athletes that I work with and the riders I train, that I really harp on, is you guys just need to be doing a little bit of foam rolling, a little bit of mobility work, you know, pretty much every day, and it'll really help get things moving in the right direction there. So those were some of the lessons that I learned from Mike Boyles and my experience there and stuff. And the next thing I had on my list was a book. And, you know, one of the things I've been doing over the last year or so is reading a lot more. And so I'm pretty happy with that I've been making time for that. It's real easy for us to get busy and say, I don't have time to read. But, you know, the reality is you don't have time to not read. You know, it just kind of keeps your brain working in a positive direction and keeping good ideas coming into it rather than having things stagnate. But anyways, one of the books that really had a big impact on me was The 4-Hour Work Week. And more than being a book necessarily about only working 4 hours a week, it had more to do with being productive. And there were a couple things that really stuck out from the book. And one is the difference between being productive versus being busy. And this is something that both in training and in life that people have a really tough time distinguishing. And, you know, we're almost trained to look busy, not necessarily be productive. I mean, you know, for most of us, we have an 8-hour job. We need to be there for 8 hours. And we know that if we don't look like we're doing something, we're going to get, you know, reprimanded, or they're going to give us something to do. So we kind of get into the mindset of just, you know, look busy, just look busy. And, you know, we're almost discouraged from being productive. I mean, if someone was able to figure out how to get all of their work done in 2 hours, but they had an 8-hour job, you know, they would actually get paid less for being productive than they are for being busy. And so there's this mindset that kind of gets driven into us, and it really kind of stands between us and success in life and in training, because this carries over to training. I mean, you look at a lot of training programs and they're very busy. You know, there's a lot going on, but they're not necessarily more productive than a very simple, basic routine. And I think that's something, you know, especially with the emphasis on variety, that people, you know, they want a lot of variety in their program. They're looking to do something different every day, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is, you know, kind of the basis behind the CrossFit and the P90X, you know, the popularity of those programs is that it kind of feeds into this this busy mindset of, you know, I want to be doing something versus being productive, which is like actually learning something from your training program and your exercises. And so anyways, being productive versus being busy is something that, you know, when you really start to wrap your mind around, it really makes you question, you know, how you approach life and training. And then, you know, kind of in that vein is the 80-20 rule, also known as the Pareto principle. And this says that 80% of your results come from 20% of your efforts. And, you know, this is the reality. I mean, there's this translates over a lot of different areas in life. You know, 80% of the wealth is held by 20% of the people. You know, in sales, 80% of your sales come from 20% of your customers. And also in training, you know, 80% of your results are probably coming from 20% of the exercises and the effort that you're actually putting into your routine. And so for me, you know, it kind of, when I started thinking about that, it really got me, you know, going, you know, what is that 20%? I mean, if I could literally create a program that was as 20% as long or as big as, you know, your standard workout, but it still delivered 80% of the results, you know, that would be pretty good. And on the flip side of that, is I want to make sure that no matter what programs that I'm creating, I've got that 20% in there. Like, I want to know what that 20% is so that I'm always building on that. You know, like, you never, you know, want to have one of those things that's delivering 80% of your results, like, not in your program. So, you know, thinking about, well, what are the most important elements? Like, what are the most important things for me to be doing and have a mastery of, is an important thing to think about. And then, you know, lastly, from the book I picked up, that you want to be all right with missing small stuff so you can concentrate on big stuff. And, you know, again, he was referring to stuff in business, and I can tell you, and you know, with me as a business owner, that is a tough one. You know, feeling like, you know, okay, it's all right if I have a trainer. You know, they're not gonna coach as good as I do, but I've got to be all right with some of that small stuff. You know, if I have them coaching the big stuff right, and they're getting, like, you know, most of it there, and, you know, being able to let some of that small stuff slip through the cracks so that I can concentrate on the bigger stuff. You know, as far as, like, educating myself and creating better programs and doing things like that, then, you know, that's what's going to help, you know, me become a better trainer. And, you know, as a business owner, being able to let small stuff, you know, slip through the cracks, you can concentrate on the bigger prizes out there. But when it comes to training, I see this a lot with people who, you know, I mean, before they've even mastered the basic exercises, like, you know, they can't really do a good, strong, consistent deadlift or a swing. You know, the Turkish get-up is an exercise that still, you know, gives them a lot of problems. You know, they can't balance on one leg and do, like, a single leg RDL yet, or, you know, or Romanian deadlift. You know, some really basic exercises, and they can't do those basic things yet. And they're all worried about these details and, like, you know, man, you know, what about this exercise? Or, you know, am I missing out on this? Or should I be doing that? And it's like, man, you know, the short answer is yes. Like, I mean, that stuff, it's not that it's not important, but the big stuff is that you have a good command of these basic movements that you can build on with a program. And, you know, be all right with some of that small stuff slipping through the cracks. Like, you know, keeping a really basic approach to your training until you have those things mastered is really the best way. And I see people get into this, and that, you know, we've got activation drills, and you've got mobility drills, and you've got core training drills, and you've got, you know, different types of cardio stuff. And it's, you know, there's so many things out there that you can, that can start to confuse you and get you to lose focus on the big important stuff. And so that's, you know, you want to keep that in mind. Like, you know, it goes back to that 80-20 rule. What is that 20%? And concentrate on that. So those were some, you know, lessons that I got out of that book, The 4-Hour Work Week. And then finally, just some personal things that I learned. And, you know, you got to remember, I'm just like you. The only reason I do this is because I want to be a better mountain biker. Like, if this stuff doesn't translate over to the trail and I don't feel like it's making me a better rider, then I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to just go to the gym. It sounds funny coming from a guy who makes a living training people, but I'd rather be out on the trail than in the gym lifting. But I know that the programs make me better on the trail. And so that's why I do this stuff. So that's why I just kind of want to relate some of the lessons that I learned this year in my quest to become a better rider. Because, I mean, every year you want to feel like you've progressed, and you want to feel like you've, you know, you're a better rider at the end of the year than you started the year. And you know, hopefully that's your goal going into each year. And so I definitely felt like I was able to figure some stuff out, especially in some skills areas. And, you know, one of the first things that I learned is manualing is really a key skill to have. And manualing is basically just your ability to loft your front wheel up and stay balanced on your bike. And so most people just pull the front end up, just kind of like do an upright row type motion, and they, you know, pick the front end up, but it's not balanced. That's why the front end comes up and then it crashes right back down. And so to kind of do the manual, you've got to figure out how to use your legs and your hips to push the rear wheel under you, which extends the front end out, and then that naturally, like, you don't actually pull up on the front end. And so it's all in the hips. Like, manualing is all in the hips. And so once you get manualing down, well, you know, a bunny hop is just a manual into picking your front end, your rear wheel up. And so that's your bunny hop. And then jumping just kind of plays off of that same motion as well. It's a little bit different, but that same idea of pushing your bike, like, you know, pushing the bike in front of you rather than leaning back away from the bike. And so, like, once I got that figured out, I did a, you know, a skills coaches camp with Gene Hamilton, who does the Better Ride skills camps. And, you know, highly recommend taking a skills camp. And, you know, Gene's stuff is outstanding, obviously. It's, you know, I've taken a couple and it's really helped me out. But the, you know, once I kind of got that manualing thing down, it was like, whoa, you know, I can, you know, my bunny hopping just really started to take off. And on the trail, it made a huge impact, like being able to come up to a rock garden and just kind of loft the front end up and manual through it was so much smoother than, you know, leaving the front end down. And then being able to bunny hop, like being able to do like a manual into a bunny hop again was just, you know, you find yourself able to do things that you just can't do without those skills. And remember, like on the trail, momentum is your friend. You know, the idea is to go faster. It's not necessarily to pedal more, it's just to go faster. And so if you can figure out how to use these skills to help you go faster without pedaling more, I mean, that's, to me, that's like the ultimate in flow. Like you're farming your momentum from the trail rather than, you know, having to create it yourself. And so, you know, it's not saying that pedaling is bad, but, you know, my goal is to try to, you know, use what the trail has given me as much as I can and use my skills to form that, versus just, you know, not even paying attention to it, not even knowing that it's there and cruising on through. But anyway, so the next thing that I kind of picked up from that same thing, once you get manually down, you know, is also cornering. And this, you know, cornering is kind of like the holy grail of riding. If you can rip corners, then, you know, that's awesome. They're tough to consistently rip. And I figured out cornering is all in the hips, 100%. You're not 100%. I can't say that. But like if you did nothing else but just used your hips to turn your bike, then most everything else would start to fall into place. And, you know, things like counter steering will definitely help enhance that. But, you know, as I played around between concentrating more on hips and concentrating more on like the counter steering and what's going on the front end, you know, the more I started to realize is that, you know, the hips and getting your hips in the right position and then moving from there is really what you want to do. And so developing the lateral hip mobility that you need, you know, stuff like the kettlebell windmill teaches you, you know, portions of the Turkish getup also work on this lateral hip mobility and hip strength that you need in order to corner properly. And so if you're all tight and jammed up with your hips laterally, you know, you can't just slide your hips side to side smoothly, then you're gonna struggle to consistently corner, you know, especially where traction is sketchy. And so, you know, that's manually and cornering were two things that, like I said, that really made a huge impact on me on the trail, and figuring out how to kind of take those things to the next level and use them on the trail. And like I said, I felt like it really helped me just kind of keep my flow more and feel, you know, more like I was, you know, using the trail and what the trail gave me, you know, versus just kind of like pedaling through everything. And so standing up and pumping and manualing and cornering and using those things, you know, I found really enjoyable and really kind of took my enjoyment of trail riding to another level. And then lastly, last kind of big lesson that I learned personally is that being able to meet people where they're at with training is way more important than what is in the training program itself. And, you know, what I mean with that is, as a trainer, you know, I do this stuff for a living. And so, you know, I read all these books and, you know, I work with people on a daily basis and, you know, I train myself and I've been doing this for decades now, as far as like working out personally and well over 10 years doing it professionally. And sometimes I have a tough time remembering that not everyone is into it as I am. And so, you know, this year I definitely went through kind of a rough period with my facility where I just felt like, you know, what is wrong with everyone? Like, why can't everyone figure out these programs? They're not that difficult. They're not that complicated. And I felt like, you know, I needed to figure out how to change the client rather than myself being able to understand, well, where is the client really at? And you know, the challenge is on me to write the best program based on where they're at with the training program. So, you know, like I said, being understanding that I wasn't necessarily dumbing things down, because that's one of the things that's mentioned in From Good to Great, as far as like the curse of knowledge, is, you know, the people that know this stuff tend to think of trying to bring it, I don't know, make it simpler, simplify it so that people that aren't as into it as they are can understand it better. And like I said, a lot of times we look at it who are into these things is like, well, I don't want to dumb it down. And, you know, understanding that it's not dumbing it down, that it's, you know, you as a trainer stepping up to the plate and accepting where people are at and meeting them there and then building on that and getting them to where you want them to be, versus just like driving people away and banging your head in the wall and thinking, oh, you know, why can't people just get this? And why can't people understand it? So, so personally, that was a real big one. Like when I kind of came through the other side of that experience and I realized like, man, it's on you 100%. You know, that really helped me start to create better training programs. And that was what led to me, you know, redoing my ultimate M2B workout program, which, you know, for those of you that have it, especially compared to earlier versions, you know, I definitely feel like it's, you know, a better program as far as like being able, easier to understand for people who aren't 100% into it and being able to progress and not even really 100% into it. I don't know if that's necessarily the word, but, you know, just making things accessible to everyone. And that's really kind of my goal is to continue to create training programs that are accessible to everyone, no matter where you're at with training, because this stuff will make a huge impact on your riding. And, you know, I guess kind of in conclusion, you know, I don't want to start, you know, rambling too much on this stuff, but, you know, going into next year in 2011, you know, you're going to be sitting at the end of it again, looking back thinking, okay, either I accomplished my goals, either I became a better rider or I didn't. And, you know, hopefully you didn't take a step back at the end of the year. So, you know, going into this, understanding that you have a choice and it's not the bike that you ride, you know, it's not the equipment that you have, it's you as the rider, as the pilot, you know, what is your weakness and what do you need to work on? And so whether it be, you know, skills or strength or power, whatever it is, you know, my goal is to provide, you know, the tools and the resources that people need to be able to do that and provide them direction. I mean, I tell people in my training facility all the time, they're like, oh, thank you for helping me do this. And it's like, look, I didn't do it. You did it. I just provided you the direction. Okay. You had the motivation and I just provided you the direction for that motivation that got you the results, that kept you motivated and kept you working. And so, you know, that's all I want to do with this stuff is provide you the direction so that when you are motivated and you are ready to put in the work, that you have a direction to go with it and put that motivation to work and see good results for it. Because there's nothing worse than spending your time and your money and your effort on something that's not going to give you results. I mean, you know, believe me, I know I've spent plenty of money on scam supplements and following bad workout programs and, you know, not seeing the results and getting frustrated and not knowing what to do and thinking that there's something wrong with you, you know, like what the heck, I'm doing everything that this says and it's just not working. And again, it's not that there's nothing wrong with you. You know, training works. You will get better from training. It's just you need to make sure that you've got the right approach. And so, so that's kind of my goal for next year is keep, you know, pumping those things out and keep providing that direction for you guys. So, you know, I've really enjoyed doing these podcasts this year and I think that got a good format and direction for the upcoming year. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed them as well. And you know, happy new year to everyone listening to this. And, you know, again, you can visit me on the web at bikejames.com if you guys got any questions or comments on any of this stuff. And if not, then I'll talk to you in my next podcast next year.